Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this, man, another. It is a hot summer day. That's just the way it is. Temperatures in the 90s, and there's a chance, and I'm hoping.
Around midnight, it says about 50% is what it's
midnight. Yeah. Well, I'll take it anytime.
Yes.
Definitely, we could use a little more rain to keep things from just completely burning up. But yeah, welcome into The Drive. That other voice you heard, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247, joining me here in the studio. Drew is at the controls. Jason, how was your fourth?
It was good. Yeah, like we were talking, you were out of town. I was here. Did not rain here at all.
I noticed that as soon as I got back.
So got luck a couple nights ago, but it's been pretty dry. But it was good. We had a good time. Had a chance to go to the pool a little bit and spend some time with some friends and do all those things. So it was pretty nice to be able to relax and just enjoy it.
Yeah, this is about as slow. I mean, we're just a few weeks ago you were talking it's busy time. There's a lot going on. Now it's a 180.
This is the most difficult time of the year.
You're absolutely right,
because you have to find something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like football's the easiest time of the year, because you have a schedule and you know what you're doing. The busiest time of the year is spring, where you have the football, basketball, baseball overlap and all those things. This is the hardest time of the year because there's nothing going on.
That's exactly right.
And so you have to manufacture things. So you have to work a little more these weeks to kind of –
had to be creative.
Yes, you do. And so – but, that'll end here soon. We're 2 weeks today from Auburn being SEC Media Days in Tampa. So – we're pretty close to being able to start getting some things across and people talking, which is good.
There was a little bit of news last week. I mean, Auburn picked up a football commitment, got at least one addition in baseball in the transfer portal. We've now seen that Auburn has its full roster together for basketball as they start working out. Yeah. So there are a few things
absolutely.
That have been going on.
Yeah, and it was – had a few things, like I said, last week – obviously getting Montas in and kind of getting that one going was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting Arcis in with him. And so adding those two pieces, and I hadn't had a chance to watch those guys yet, but I saw some clips of them on social media. And having seen what I've already seen this summer, if those guys are what they're projected to be, then this team's going to be pretty good. There's a lot of pieces. This team may have more pieces than any team we've seen in quite a while. You might not have – now, Todd Pettiford has a chance to be an elite piece. And we've seen in college basketball, you can have an elite guy, a couple pretty good guys, and then five good guys. Then that can be a team to be reckoned with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It feels like that's what Auburn has a chance to be if Kevin Overton can do what he did at the end of the year last year. One of these other guys steps up and becomes another one of those types of players, and your big guys can defend the rim, finish around the rim some, and play defense. You've already got the recipe for a team that had a chance to go compete.
Well, you've got a bunch of guys that have at least in the past have shown that they can shoot it, and you've got more size than you've had
ever.
In quite a while.
Yeah. Ever.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right about
that. I don't think there's ever been an Auburn team that's this big from 1 to 13. If you're saying, let's get 13 guys, there's never been an Auburn team this big. You've had teams that have had some size. We saw 2 7-footers. We've seen that. But you haven't had the depth of the size on the wing for this team, especially. When you look at, they're going to have 5 or 6 guys that are 6'5 to 6'8.
6'5 to 6'8. You're right. Yeah. They can play wing.
Yeah, and this is going to be a bigger team than we've seen in forever at Auburn.
Yeah, so that's fun. I mean, that's one of the things we've talked about, and just sort of looking forward to the upcoming athletic year. There are a lot of interesting things to look forward to. Now have a new track and field coach, as Auburn introducing Its highly decorated assistant yesterday, Ken Hardenhead, as the new track and field coach, and I think a lot of people very, very happy about that.
Yeah, just from talking from folks around the program and know the program, this is a no-brainer. This is exactly who it had to be, and if it wasn't going to be at Auburn, it would have been somewhere else pretty quickly. And so, you get a guy that
multi-time assistant of the year,
very instrumental in the success they've had. There's no question about that, and so. Now I have a chance to have a presser with him tomorrow, mm-hmm. and get a chance to learn some more things about him and kind of philosophy and future of the program and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I think it's a, you know, you look and go, man, that was the exact right move that you needed to make. And so I think for Auburn, it was, you know, like I said, a no brainer to add a guy like that, and to hold on to him and make him the head coach was a really good move.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's been the news. Although today, I mean, we get word that Auburn had its best year ever as far as fundraising. I mean, and this shows you the dedication and the loyalty and the devotion that the Auburn fan base has. My goodness, over $93 million in fundraising this past year.
Yep. Back-to-back years of the most fundraising. And I saw a thing, too, that says since John Cohen arrived in November of 2023, the fundraising totals have gone from $54.7 million to more than $93
million. Mm-hmm.
That's a huge leap.
That is.
But it shows you
nearly 100% increase.
And you're talking about the importance, the way you do things, you know, budget for every sport, everything you do right now, and it's just reality. Reality is it takes money to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
It just does. Money doesn't guarantee success. Yeah, it's kind of taking the place of recruiting for me. You're like, we always used to say, look, you have to recruit to have a chance. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to go win a championship.
Right, you can't win without players.
And now
that's correct. The basis.
Correct. Now you can't win without money.
Right.
You're
not going to get players without money.
Correct. And you might but everything else involved too. It doesn't guarantee you're going to go win a championship, but it just about guarantees you're not if you're not able to compete for those kinds of teams, those kind of players, those kind of transfers, everything involved with it. It's just the reality of the world we live in as it stands today.
Yeah, and I don't know that we're close to it changing. I mean, just one of the interesting things that happened over the past few days is Auburn and Alabama issuing a joint statement. You know, we've talked about that Protect College Sports Act, and you saw that the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten weren't crazy about it. Now, Auburn and Alabama have issued a joint statement, and look, you're talking about how important the finances are, and look, nobody who is a have is ready to give up its share to help the have-nots. I mean, the revenue sharing is something that's an absolute no-go from most Power Four schools.
It's again, when you look at it, people say, well, you need to do this and this. It doesn't matter because people aren't going to get on the same page,
right?
You're not going to be able to do this, go, well, you know, we're going to follow the rules, you need to follow the rules too, and everybody will be good. Well, it's not going to work.
No.
It doesn't happen that way. So they we're going to have to get to a point where they say, okay, your employees, collective bargain. That's the only way this thing's ever going to work, in my opinion.
And but it sure seems like the NCAA is. I mean, they don't want that. They still are doing everything they can. I don't know. And I don't know that players are crazy about becoming employees either.
Well, I know they're not. I mean, I would not want to give up what they have either.
Right now they have the power.
Yeah, well, they have every bit of the power. Mm-hmm. That's what I've said all along. It was, since this thing is kind of the way it is. Listen, they're getting paid and getting scholarship money and getting meals and getting housing and getting massages, and they don't have to pay for medical. They don't, I'm like, they've got the best deal ever.
Oh, you're right.
You could not have a better deal right now. You think about professional athletes, and you go,
they don't have.
They got to go pay rent.
That's right.
They got to do all these things.
That's right. They have bills they have to pay.
Like, not here. Not anywhere else like this. You know, and you think about if you said, you know, for instance, go right now, if you said, well, this guy's only making, you're only paying him $60,000, and you go, man, that's nothing, and you go,
it's not nothing.
What would you get if you had $60,000 after you paid
on
all
top
your bills?
That's right.
That's the point. You go, like, you got $60,000.
I don't have a car
left.
Payment. Don't have a house payment. Yeah, don't have to buy food.
Yeah, $5,000 left at the end of the month. What would you do?
Yeah,
I'd be turning cartwheels down Opelika Road.
You're not kidding.
That's just $60,000.
Right.
And what if it's $600,000 without a bill to pay? I mean, that's what we're doing right now, and so that's why. Listen, they don't want to change 100%.
No,
and I wouldn't
them.
Either. But
no.
But it has to. It has to.
No, eventually.
Yes.
Eventually, it does. I mean, it's not. I don't see it like anytime immediately. I mean, in the very very near future, but yeah, at some point you just feel like unless we can just start printing money and it doesn't matter, they just take it. You know, you can just print it off your own printer and it works just as good as anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like I said, all this, the money that we just heard talking about raising $93 million, it's all a necessary evil right now in the world of college athletics.
Oh yeah.
Because you look and like people aren't slowing down. No matter.
Oh,
what,
no! I mean,
no matter what you say, look.
When you look at Texas A&M, supposedly with a $10 million signing class already, and they're nowhere near done.
Yeah, there's more money being spent now for football rosters. People are like, well, here's your budget for an entire athletic department. Well, these football teams are more than the budgets for the entire athletic department already. Like you know, you go salary cap and all these things, it has no bearing at all, zero, because. Look, you know, you go get deals with, well, the Big 12 just for the entire conference today just announced a deal with Monster Energy Drinks where it's like $28 million and it's for the entire league. And they're going to get part of that to revenue share and they're going to share it with their league. I mean, like, they're bypassing it on their own. I mean, that's what you're going to do. I think that.
Oh, you've got to get what you can.
You know, we've seen
everything
we've seen schools. You know, with stadium naming rights, Arkansas has done it in this league. There'll be more. Kentucky had already done it. They were one of the first ones to do it. You're going to have to do that. And people, you don't want to do it because it's always going to be Jerry Aaron Stadium. But it's going to have a name at it sooner or later. It's going to because you can't not –
No, you can't
take
keep
that
up.
Money. Can't
no,
do it.
No, absolutely. All right, we're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive. We'll talk about just about whatever you would like. 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Bill and Jason here on the Tuesday edition of the Drive. Come on in and join us.
War Eagle. This is Coach PN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Butch Thompson bringing us back in. And he was one of the speakers at the ambush last week. Yeah, I know you were up there.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting time. We talked a little bit about basketball, but we had Stephen Pearl, so we had a chance to talk to him. Nick Kleinert. Christian wrote a story this week about their three newcomers to join this class. The guy that won the Florida State Amateur as a high school kid. That's pretty strong.
you have a feeling this team's going to be pretty darn competitive again next year.
Yes, absolutely. But, I had a chance to talk to Butch as well, and it's a busy time for him and the staff.
I thought it was pretty cool him talking about his pilgrimage.
It started this week, and just saw Coleman Borthwick is one of the guys that they'll go visit. He's a two-way player, right-handed pitcher, position player, a guy that will be in the $4 million range probably.
I saw a projection just in the last day or so that had him 35. Which was 2.8.
And that's the thing. If you start, I think look, there's a belief that if you get inside or around $3 million, you might have a shot because. Listen, they're talking about changing the draft. And listen, Major League Baseball does their own thing. So they can say, hey, look, we're going to cut the draft down to 10 rounds, and we're going to start taking people after their second year of college. So they could move it up a little bit. If you do that, and all of a sudden you go, look, you can get drafted after your second year, it could change things a little bit in terms of getting more players on campus, especially when you shorten the draft.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, I don't know that the Players Association is going to go for most of those proposals from MLB. But you're right. I mean, those would be a tremendous help to college.
Yes, and it would allow more older guys to continue to play baseball too. Mm-hmm. The more you do that, you get more opportunities there. But so Coleman Borthwick is one of the players they'll visit. Jace Matuszynski is a shortstop from Wisconsin, who's 6'3", 190, really athletic. Those are the kind of guys that Major League Baseball teams go, hey, we're going to draft this guy in the second round. And so they're, you know, going to hold on to him. That's one of the guys. A.J. Rice is a right-handed pitcher, but, you know, he's 6'1", 185 pounds, but he's 93, 94, hard slider, sinker, a lot of movement. I mean, he's a really good pitcher. That's one of the guys you're looking at as well. And so you're looking for them going, how many of your top 3 to 4 high school guys can you hold on to?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the draft do to you in terms of the guys on your team? Fortunately for Auburn, a lot of the guys are
Auburn didn't have, from, yeah, Auburn sophomore. Didn't have as many draft eligible players.
They just
as
had
a
to go sign
teams.
They just had to go re-sign their own guys.
Right.
And that's what they did. But you look and you go, obviously Chris Rembert is a draft eligible sophomore. You look at Rembert and Eric Guevara are really your two position players. Brandon mm-hmm. McCrane is draft eligible, but I don't think he would go anywhere this year. And then you look at position players, I mean, pitchers, and you go Alex Petrovic, Ryan Hetzler, two guys. And then Jet Johnson, Garrett Brewer is a draft-eligible guy, too. You might lose those couple of guys. You know, obviously Petrovic and Ryan Hetzler would be two of your biggest losses. But you look and go, as you manage to keep Andres Alvarez and Jackson Sanders and L.J. Cormier, you start talking about the pieces there, Jake Marciano. So you go, you keep – really, you had a four-man rotation. You kept three of those four guys.
Yeah, you got Griffin Graves back, who was projected to be a starter before he got hurt last year.
And you think about the guys you've added on this staff. I'm telling you, from talking to folks that know and know him, Dane Brewer's a guy from Mississippi State that they feel like has a chance to be a potential draft guy. Was really good coming back from some arm issues
mm-hmm.
and has been good. I feel like there's some real pieces for them when you start talking about some of these guys they've added. And, you know, people have asked about position players, and you go, you know, what's that look like for them? Because they've only added two position players, and, you know, try to explain to folks, listen, your biggest portal additions in your position players were Chase Frelick, Bub Terrell, Ethan Bingham, and Mason McCrane, Brandon McCrane. You had to go get those guys and keep them, and they were able to do that. You know, Kay Ballou would be a guy that you expect back unless somebody were to draft him and give him a shot maybe. But then you start looking at those players and those position players. And so and then if you were to lose Borthwick, Matuszynski, A.J. Rice, Ty Tillery is the other. Uh-huh. Those are your four biggest threats.
I just
open up a little bit of money now for you portal wise, and so I think especially though Borthwick, Matuszynski are two guys that you could count on maybe being the next in that freshman group mm-hmm. to play as position players and at the plate. Then it probably would force you to go get another portal guy, probably.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'd had a couple of people, you know, wondering why hasn't Auburn, you know, gone for an impact bat or something like that. It's like, well, they've got quite a few coming back, and you need to know exactly where you are before you go out and do something like that.
Yeah, had you gone out and signed, as I just said, had you gone out from the portal and signed Chase Frelick, Bub Terrell, Ethan Bingham, and Mason McCrane, Brandon McCrane, those five guys – had you signed that five guys from the portal, you'd be far and away the number one portal class in the country.
Right.
You didn't have to go do that. Other teams did because that's how they – next year, Auburn will likely have to do a bunch of that
mm-hmm.
because you're going to lose most of those guys next year. Mason McCrane is draft eligible.
Right.
Brandon will be. Chase Frelick will be.
Yeah, all the sophomores obviously will be.
You're
going to
have a big group of guys next year. I seen from Chase Frelick, look, he could be a potential top 10 pick next year. And so – you will go portal heavy next year.
Yeah, you'll have to.
You didn't have to this year. This year you had to sign the guys on your roster, mm-hmm. supplement those guys, and they still could do a couple more things.
And Chase and Jackson Sanders are going to be traveling with Team USA.
Team USA to Taiwan. And, you know, Ethan Bingham had a really good camp as well, swung the bat well, but that was a pretty stacked first base
group. Yeah, it is,
and there.
it's tough when you're a little less experienced than some of the other guys.
Correct, and so, you know, so yeah, they'll get a chance to go and play in Taiwan and keep playing this summer and extend theirs a little bit. So, you know, good thing is for, like, you know, Jackson Sanders, it is, you know, one inning, two inning here. Mm-hmm. You're not – They don't really tax pitchers a whole lot, which is a good. And then from, you know, Chase Paley's perspective, listen, you got a couple other catchers, so he could catch one day, maybe DH another day, and so it's not the grind that you might have in some other areas of playing. So great opportunity. 100%, absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, it's there's no question. A lot of excitement there. As the key was retention. And that's and that's one thing that the staff, Butch and his staff, have done a great job of. So we'll see the draft coming up Saturday and Sunday. So I think we'll have an idea fairly soon after the draft.
Yeah, because what happens now is that
you'll have an idea when you see where they go.
Well, that's the thing, because if they draft a high school player high,
that means they know they're going to get
signed. You're not drafting a high school player to hope you can sign him.
No, that's just a waste because of your time and money.
Now, with only 12 rounds, you cannot afford to waste picks. And so,
well, it's still 20 now.
But you're talking about getting to the first 8 to 10 rounds, mm-hmm. and then, depending on how much money you have to spend on those guys, you might still have some money to spend.
Yeah, you may take a shot and draft somebody later
But it'd be like Ethan Bingham in last year, where you go, well, take a guy in the 19th round.
It doesn't cost you. It's not really costing you that much. No, it's a chance you can take.
Because you don't have to pay that guy.
Right.
Or the slot value isn't that high. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, if you see one of these high school guys, especially, if you see one of those guys go in the first, one to two or three rounds.
I'd say in the first three.
Yep. Then you can go ahead and pretty much chalk that one up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. And Saturday, I think the first four rounds are Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we'll know a lot by then. So yeah, it'll be fun. But it's one of those times. It's really sort of nerve wracking. It's interesting, and we've talked about this one, how much different it is in each sport with drafts. I mean, in baseball, players can be drafted. They don't have to go. That doesn't mean they've foregone anything. They can come back.
Yes.
But you'd know a little less, and it is so much more speculation.
Oh, it's the most difficult
because
part.
You've got thousands of options out there.
Yeah, it's the most difficult one because, like you said, you know, you're a high school class.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
No, it's the only sport that's drafting high schoolers. Yes, and I get, maybe that's why MLB wants to.
I think that's it. I think you're like, hey, look, let's
look. They also see what college is producing
baseball
now.
Yes, because I was thinking about, we were talking about this with somebody I was talking about with the other day. Really, the last 10 years or so, we've seen college baseball become the main pipeline now to Major League Baseball, and especially the quickness. And I think Major League teams are going, listen, how many millions of dollars did we spend on high school kids that didn't ever make it?
Right. And having to have, you know, short season rookie, multiple single A teams,
more physical, more mature, better coached, better equipped players, and going, look, okay, why don't we continue with that model, because mm-hmm. it's working for us.
Oh yeah,
it's working in that area. Do you still see high school guys make it? Absolutely, you do.
You do, but I mean, taking them a couple of years.
Correct.
And you get college players, and you're seeing them making it to the majors. I mean, in a half a season.
Yeah, a half season of a year. I mean, we've seen some, especially the SEC guys. All these guys making it up really quickly.
You see them, sometimes before the end of that year where they're drafted. Yes. So I mean, it's very understandable. I mean, it makes sense financially. For Major League Baseball,
yes, it does, and I would like to see it. I think it'd be nice. It would definitely strengthen the college game. We were talking about mm-hmm. it recently, but the amount of kids that are in college baseball that are still dropping down and strengthening the lower level teams is already showing up. If you do this and you add even more of these projected high school players to the college game, it's going to make the college game. But even better, but it's also going to strengthen professional baseball because you're going to have more mature people going.
They're
going to
have
game.
more proven proven talent.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not just scouting, and you're not just trying to judge them on, you know, travel, all-star, I mean, showcase-type things. You get to see them with much more there's a much bigger sample size from games, yes, against quality competition, mm-hmm, than they have right now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Bill and Jason here on this Tuesday afternoon. Anything on your mind, come on in and join us.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247. Drew is at the controls, and you heard the number. I know we weren't here for a week, But I'm sure there are a lot of folks that are on vacation right now. A lot of folks are. This is a great time to be able to do that if you can. But if you're around, give us a holler. We'd love to hear from you. We're 2 weeks away, as Jason said, from Auburn's appearance at SEC Media Days. We're still waiting for the full schedule, Jason. I mean, we know what days each team is going to be there, but we don't know, you know, is it morning, is it afternoon?
Yeah.
And we don't know who is going to represent each team as far as the players. I mean, we know, obviously, we have some new head coaches in the league. Alex, yeah, Golish going back to where he's been the last few years down in Tampa. And is it three players again this year? That's what I was thinking.
As far as I know, it is, yes.
It's been three for a while. It was, you know, it was two for a long time, then it went to three. And we were thinking about it a little bit yesterday. I would expect, I'd be shocked if Byron Brown,
yeah,
isn't one of the three. But after Byron Brown, you know, I mean, you've got quite a few guys that could be.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of options when you start talking about it. You know, we're talking about is like, I would be really surprised if Alex McPherson's not one of them.
Yeah, that's
with his history,
right? He's a great story, and when he's healthy, he's a great kicker,
absolutely. And so, that's a guy that, to me, that you send out there and make the face of your program, or one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you got a bunch of options. Obviously, Xavier Atkins is a returning All American, a guy that would be in high demand. Cole Best is one of your, I don't know,
he's a leader of your offensive line.
He may be the most engaging speaker on the entire team. He's one of those guys. But, I mean, there's a bunch. I mean, you know, Sylvester Smith's a veteran in the secondary. Champ Anthony's a veteran. Caleb Harris is a veteran. You got a bunch of those guys,
yeah,
in the secondary.
Most of them, yeah.
Rayshon Pleasant is a senior corner, second-year guy. But,
mm-hmm,
you know, you start thinking about all, you know, because you think about what – if it's going to be offense, we got Jeremiah Cobb.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
Jeremiah's guy that's been here.
I mean, Byron Brown, Jeremiah Cobb, Cole Best. To me, if you're going to have one guy on offense, it's probably Byron Brown. If you get two, it's going to be one of those three guys. In my opinion.
It's going to be one of the other guys.
One of those two. The defense is where you start going, because you have special teams. It's probably Alex McPherson.
Mm-hmm.
Defense, you start going. Okay,
it's not.
Where
not,
do you?
I
go?
Would say. Well, I don't think you have somebody that has the experience and has been around on the front.
Yeah, correct. I mean, not at Auburn.
Right.
And that's the thing. You got a few guys. I mean, Deshaun Womack has played some football, but he's probably not
going to be. Sigler is a great story,
Cody Sigler is a great story, but not going to be him at SEC Media Days, I don't think. And then your young guys haven't probably done it enough.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
you sort of earned that trip.
Yeah, man. I think defensively you start going Xavier Atkins or one of those – maybe three safety guys.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the guys you think about.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Champ.
And, you know, he's been hurt and banged up a little bit. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Listen, you get to the 4th of July and you go, okay, now you can start to feel a little bit football.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, now it's when it gets really hot. Then you know it's getting closer. But you get to Tampa and you get to SEC Media Days and you start going, okay, well, now we start to get a feel for what's it going to look like, who all is going to be there, and, you know, I'm really, really I won't say excited. I'm really looking forward to Monday because I'm going to do my best.
The Monday of media day?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to do my best to get Greg Sankey to talk about SEC officiating. Because to me, everybody wants to talk about NIL. Everybody wants to talk about all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is the elephant in the room right now, going, something has to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Got to figure out a way.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to do anything. I don't think he'll say anything.
Now, he'll say something, but it won't be anything.
Yeah, but you know, whether it's transparency, I'm hoping that you start to go, okay, listen, these guys are getting paid. Man, they're not making $1 million, but we're not either. Like, they should have to answer doing.
Look, I just want the SEC to at least do what the ACC does.
At a minimum, I want
let's
that.
Let's at least be able to listen in and find out why.
But you know, let's pick a pool reporter. If there's a controversial call that impacts this game, then you have to talk to somebody from the media to then pass along a quote about what your thought process mm-hmm. was, why that decision was made, and why you think it's the right one. At a minimum, you should have to do that. You don't have to stand in front of the whole throng of media, but there should be a response to something. I think back to the Oklahoma game last year. Somebody should have to answer a question going, how did you miss that? Why wasn't it called? Was it a mistake? You have to answer.
I'd like to at least hear, we screwed up, we missed it.
We just missed it or whatever. Yeah. But don't tell me in the heat of the moment, well, that's a legal play.
Well, because no, it's not.
Then, yeah. So I think there has to be something in it. So that's my Monday.
Monday is going to be trying to get something from
SEC about officiating.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Jason. How y'all doing?
Hey, Terry.
Hey, has anybody ever brought to SEC Media Days players from all sides of the ball, like all offense or all defensive players?
I think it's probably happened. I don't remember. I'm trying to
maybe – May have been Arkansas with three. But I think it has. It seems unusual. You would think maybe back in the days of Hal Mumme at Kentucky or something, they'd only take a couple of. Yeah, well, Spurrier, they had some guys that could play defense as well. I'm just trying to think of teams that just were either just atrocious on one side of the ball and decided, yeah, we just won't bring any of those guys. But
when did they up it from 2 to 3 to bring?
It's been a while now. It's been since they extended an extra day.
We used to be just a couple of days, and now we're 3 days or whatever.
It's
so
4 days now.
4 days, yeah.
And don't you guys think with Auburn's offensive struggles over the past umpteenth years, that it would make sense to bring all guys from offense?
No, it makes more sense to bring all guys from defense if that's what I was doing.
For the guys that have
Been good,
right? Talk about how well they played.
Yeah,
Auburn struggles have been.
I know, if I'm Auburn, I don't want to talk about my struggles. I want to talk about where I'm good.
Well, I see your point there, Jason.
But Byron Brown's got to be there, He has done very well where he's been, and he'll get questions about playing against this level of competition week in and week out.
Right. That's a misnomer. I mean, that's always understood that Byron Brown's going to be one of the guys brought.
Oh, yeah.
That's obvious. I just think it'd be, with all our struggles on offense continuously, especially for the past 5 years, umpteenth years, quite honestly, I just think it would make sense to bring all offense because that's where the struggles have been. And Jason, I respectfully disagree with you a little bit. I think, Golish might be arrogant enough to do it.
Well, Jason was talking a little while ago, and Cole Best makes a lot of sense as well, his center. But, it would be tough to leave out like an All-American that you have on defense who's coming back. It almost seemed like a little bit of a disservice to him.
Right. Yeah, Byron Brown, Cole Best, and maybe Alec McPherson.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think Alex is a guy that will be there. I feel like he's such a story. when
he back to healthy, Jason?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, he's yeah.
They finally found something that stopped the. I mean, he just kept losing weight. He couldn't keep any weight on, and my goodness, he didn't weigh anything.
Probably
anyway.
Saw him. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Still doing good. Been kicking and was feeling good. So I haven't heard anything other than that this summer.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill. All of his weight was in his leg.
and he kicked. It's amazing how well he can kick, how hard, how far he can kick, as slight as he is.
Yeah, exactly. Take care, guys.
Appreciate it, Terry. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guy. Hey, Bill. Hey, Jason. I want to talk about what y'all just commented about, which is great. Okay, Jason, I get where you're going on this with the media days. You want to pin them down. And the problem I see is you're giving him an out by saying, well, let's have him answer to a reporter. I think that he can say, well, you know, I'm not going to out my guys like that because it's embarrassing. I'm just telling you what I think he would do.
Oh, I know he's not going to answer it.
But, he's not going to say, that's a great idea.
But it
Jason,
has to be asked. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree, but I think Bill hit it. I think the better question, or the question that should be asked as well, is say, why are you afraid to do what the ACC does? Because everyone loves it. They listen to it. They hear what's going on. They all feel like, wow, okay, I see what's going on. And the fans love it. Why would you be afraid to do the transparent thing that the ACC already does? I think he would have no way to get out of that question.
No. That's going to be part of it. I mean, I'm saying, look, that answering questions, there you have to do something.
There has to be some accountability.
You have to do something. That's right. My point. Is like whatever it is, if it's that, putting a camera on those guys. To me, here's the thing though. When they do that, are you you're listening to the folks talking to the referee, or are you listening to the referee talk to each other? I can't remember which.
You're
one
listening
it is.
to the folks at back in Charlotte whatever. Talking to the talking so that's the thing. To so, the head referee.
Yeah, my question about that is, you hear them talking about it, and then you hear a decision made, and it's helpful. It is. I want to hear them why they made the call to begin with, too. And you know, see,
sure. But if you know everyone's listening, and you go, well, it looks like he made it right there, and the other guy goes, well, I don't know. I'm not really going to risk. I don't really know if I can tell. And the guy goes, are you kidding? You can't see that?
Yeah, part of it is the official has to explain. I mean, if you know, Birmingham or Charlotte or wherever is wondering, or if they or if they're saying this and it's not what the call was, they're going to ask them why that call
correct.
Was made.
So that's one of the
best things about it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, something has to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to have something. That whatever it is,
what did you see?
Yes, yeah, something. Yeah. You have something, because there's too much money involved.
Oh,
in
you're
these
right
games
about that.
To just go. Well, that's what they saw. Well, that's not enough anymore. It's not enough.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
No,
you
I
wouldn't
agree.
Have replay if that's enough. I mean, you know,
correct. If it was enough, you'd just leave it alone. Correct.
Well, I think that Georgia game, if you heard the background from them talking, I don't think there's any way you don't go, well, it looks like the ball crossed right there. That comment right there means, okay, well then, you know, I feel like they would be less likely to go and do the call they did in the Georgia game if they knew everybody was watching them. That's all I'm saying.
Everybody was going to listen in.
If you had to answer for what you did.
Explain.
That's my point. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm like, if it's that, if it's talking, whatever it is, if you have to answer and go, hey, here's what we did and why we did it. Or, because if you don't, you just do whatever you want to. Because it doesn't matter. Because nobody knows who you are. Like, well, that's the head official. Well, what if it wasn't his decision? What if it was their decision? Somebody has to, you have to know, we got to have an idea of what happened, why it happened, and somebody has to answer for it. That's
my thing. Yeah. It's a lot harder to say, why won't you just do what the ACC does? Because everyone thinks it's very transparent and it works.
At least, you could word it like, why won't you? At least you're the SEC.
Yeah.
You're a power, one of the and of course he's going to say they are the power.
Yeah,
all right,
correct.
If you are, then you should be even better than the ACC.
If it just means more,
exactly.
That's
if
right.
It just means more.
It means more to all of us.
Why don't you do
that's
more?
That's right.
Yeah, if it just means more, why don't you do more?
That's a great line.
That's, I got to write that down. Hold on.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Do at least as much as the ACC. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. We do better. So, and I think it's going to be hard for him to say, well, you know, we just don't want people to see what we're talking about. Like, really? Is that your answer?
Yeah, if he says that, he's going to get roasted. I'm telling
right.
you.
I know.
He better be better than that.
All right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
All right, Pat, appreciate the call. Let's get to our final break here of hour number one. You can join in as well, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell here in the studio. JC, how much is the viewership of the World Cup going to drop off after last night?
Yeah, it's not going to impact mine very much because I didn't watch much to begin with. It's going to impact it greatly in this country.
Oh, it is. No question.
Now, they got saved today by the comeback from Argentina. If Argentina and Portugal are both out of this thing, and you have the two biggest faces of the sport out in the final 2 weeks of this, mm-hmm. That would have impacted things dramatically. That'll help them a great deal because you're still talking about, you know, at least one of those guys being in there, Messi, and then Germany still in, right? I think so. Germany lost. So you still have Spain, which is a big deal.
France is a favorite.
France is a big one. So those are ones. If they keep them in, then you're pretty strong. Impact things greatly because, listen, when the U.S. is in there, you have, you know, a ton of folks tuned in.
Absolutely.
And they were last night. I've listened to
it. It was not terribly enjoyable to watch. I mean, you just had the feeling. I mean, first of all, when they score in the first minute,
and then
when the U.S. does score, it's less than a minute before they score again.
I watched the first 5 minutes of that, and I was like, this is not a matchup you're going to win right here. Even when they tied it.
The U.S. was so much more passive, back and forth a little bit. Belgium was so much more aggressive.
Yes, when the goal that when it popped up in the air and they kind of stood and waited.
Everybody watched.
It reminded me of watching a rebound come off and where you're standing there and a guy picks it up and I'm like, okay, that team right there. And I hate to say wants it more, but one of those teams looked at home in that.
They were much more comfortable.
And the other team looked like they were. Oh gosh, what do we do here?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I don't think there's any question. Listen, you got your best player back, but I don't think there's any question that added an extra layer of angst for them because all of a sudden it heaped a whole lot more pressure on them because the way it happened.
There's no excuse.
Listen,
it's like you got your best.
Well, I mean, hey, we were around and embedded with Auburn in 2010. And I mean, I won't say a war zone, but you're talking about a lot of pressure involved, like before the Alabama game, because of all the cam stuff. That's what this is, but this is the whole world, mm-hmm. and you're talking about everybody involved. It changes you, and I thought they did not handle it very well, and not surprisingly, but I don't think it mattered. I think they played a better team.
They did. Belgium was the better team.
And so that's it. And so, and it's one of those things where there's never been more soccer fans
in the United States
than there is right now. It's not even close. But does that translate to winning World Cup matches against these teams? It doesn't. They won and beat teams they're supposed to beat. They did. But now can you go and go, all right, now go play with these teams? And you're going to have a change in the guard a little bit because some of these are older. I mean, this is the last time you'll see, you know, Messi and Ronaldo in this environment. Probably a couple of those guys from Belgium and a couple of others too. There's some older established, but are you ready to take that next step? I don't know. I don't think so. And you got to wait 4 years to try it again.
Right.
Hope you can get it to try it again. So we'll see. I'm definitely not as versed on soccer as most of your other guests are during the week. So That's about as much as I got right there.
You got more than me.
Yeah, especially Brian and Ferg can talk a whole lot more about that than I can.
You are right about that. We're approaching the top of the hour, just about done with the first hour of the Tuesday Drive. Got another hour to go. I'd love for you to join in. We were talking about something a little while ago. I mean, with Media Days coming up, we don't know who the Auburn reps are going to be. Who would you like them to be? Are there some other players from around the league? What coaches are you sort of looking forward to? Got some new faces. There wasn't a new face last year, was there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this year, quite a few. Yes, we do. So we'll talk about that and more, but love for you to sort of head us in whatever direction you'd like. 334-321-1390 as we head to our top of the hour break, halfway done here on the Tuesday Drive.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this hot July afternoon, as you would normally expect. Like Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here alongside mentioned earlier. Yes, the weather makes you realize we're getting close to the start of football practice too. I mean, it's you hit July 4th. And football's not far away. We're less than 2 weeks away from the start of SEC Football Media Days. Auburn's up 2 weeks from today. This is the kind of weather that we normally have here heading into the start of football. But, I mean, it has changed over the years, though, Jason. I mean, it is it's not the way it used to be when we had a caller yesterday wondering, you know, what's the report date? And it's like, well, there will be a quote, you know, reporting date, whatever. But the players are all here and they've all been here.
Yeah.
The last group of just a handful have been here for the summer sessions.
It is, you know, when I started this spring of 99, so that would have been
27 years.
The fall of 99, guys reported.
You hadn't seen some of them.
You went to Sewell Hall, and those freshmen had not been on campus. And I remember a couple of guys coming up from Pensacola in a limousine one time and doing some stuff. And so you're like, okay, it was a legitimate question then. Who's in shape?
Mm-hmm.
Who can help you right away? And you knew day one on the practice field whether or not that freshman had any chance to play.
Right.
You knew it day one. It didn't guarantee it, but if you saw him and you go, "Oh nope, he's done."
Well, I mean, some of them you could tell weren't in shape.
That's what I said.
Others were just so lost.
That's it.
And you lost.
But the ones that weren't in shape,
yeah, you knew they had no chance.
That's it. That's a red shirt right there. And then you see a guy like Cadillac Williams, and you go, "Man, you know, somebody's like, well, he's 185 pounds." Like, I don't care. Watch that guy. Mm-hmm. You watched him, and you go, "Man, that guy's fierce. He's ferocious." And you think about, man, to think about those young guys now, we've seen almost all of them, all three. We saw them in the spring, and somebody asked me today, said, which freshman impressed you? And I said, there's a bunch of them, but, man, Shedarius Tootle looks like an older,
he does,
established mm-hmm. linebacker physically. He looks like those guys that Georgia's been playing with the last few years. That's who he looks like to me.
And, I mean, obviously a lot of folks are going to say, you know, DeShaun Spencer, rightfully so.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, physically. I'm going, like, physically, I'm like, man, Tootle's there. But yeah. Spencer, the way he played in the spring, Brian Williams was one of the biggest surprises of the spring for me. And so, those young guys are here. And listen, probably all but the offensive line. And even then, Wilson Zier is a guy that you're going, man, he is going to be in the mix. I don't think he's going to be a starter.
No, but I think, yeah, but you're going to be a second team
guy.
Some, yeah.
Probably one of those tackle spots and going to play some, yes. That's very different than we're used to seeing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no question about it. And they're going through, they've been able to go through some workouts. Now, I was Again, just completely away from everything a week ago. We were talking a little bit yesterday. All right, the NCAA, the 5-for-5 is in. Is the have the changes to the practice, preseason practice and things like that, are they for sure,
no,
or is it still
something that has to be approved, I believe, toward, okay, in the potential spring,
right,
giving you the number of days. I don't think that's set in stone,
okay,
yet.
I didn't know if that had passed or if it was still something up for,
yeah, because I think, listen, when it does, I think you're going to see a very different spring. I don't think you're going to see a spring game. I maybe some people will still do it. I don't know, but it's going to count as a practice like it always does.
You probably only do it just to try to raise a little money.
Yeah, that's it. But I think you'll see OTAs, and like this time of year,
right,
would be an OTA time to where you go, you OTA in April, March, April, work out, do your camps, do your OVs, do those things, OTA again in July, and then you come back in August and practice. I think that you'll give them a couple of week break or something like that. I think that's what you're going to see, or end of July or something. But right now it is like once they get done late June, it is dead. Now the football team can practice, but like, This is coach vacation time. It's basically, mm-hmm, the only time of the year you have one.
Right.
So how they'll have to adjust that, and if they start doing some of these OTAs, figuring out the schedule and how it impacts these times and places. But I think that's something they'll have to work through.
Some of it's going to depend. I mean, you know, looks like, I mean, the Big Ten would not mind a portal after the spring. And if you're gonna do that, then you're gonna have to be able to have the summer OTAs and things like that. If you did have a portal there, part of the deal is, well, it doesn't impact the academic year as much. Let them finish the year before they transfer. That completely negates spring.
Well, that's the whole point. My point is, because we've talked about it, it's like I'm fine with one portal at the end of the year. But you can't do spring practice.
No, it's worthless.
Because
completely
it's
worthless.
Completely worthless.
All you need just workout. That's pretty
and
much listen, all you.
That's what we had for a few years there, where you had another portal window after the spring, and you go, mm-hmm, like, okay, all this we just did,
it's
they're gone.
Yeah, it's good because I mean, you
wait,
you spend all the time trying to find,
right,
people that can help you play, and if they play well enough, they can leave.
So I don't think you're going to see that unless they go, listen, you got to have OTAs after,
right,
after the end of the school year.
Because you need to have a good amount of time practicing with the players that are going to play.
Yes.
Not practicing with players that could be playing against
somewhere
you.
Else. Yes. No, I think that there's only two ways this happens. I think that's it. You either go, there's no portal, and you take a little bit in the spring and a little bit in the summer, or if you're going to do a portal at the end of the year, then that's it. It's one time. No portal in December.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But coaches are going to go, listen, I'd rather have them on campus in January working out than I would spring practice.
Oh, I agree.
They would. I don't think they're going to give that up. And so because of that, I think they'll say, look, we're not going to do a second portal window. Or just
not going to have a late portal window.
Yeah, just this December portal window, that's it. And then you can do your OTAs whenever you want to do them, and it doesn't impact you at all.
Yeah, that still leaves you the possibility if you wanted to
have
a
spring. You split them up because,
right,
the thing, you're going to have two windows to do it. There's no need to do two windows if one of those is before the portal.
Yeah.
That doesn't do any good.
Yeah. Well, that's I just wanted to get that cleared up because I wasn't really sure. I knew that it was one of the things that was talked about with the 5-for-5, and I knew the 5-for-5 came in. And that's been something I know, Jason, you've been a proponent of about as long as I've known you. I mean, we've talked about eligibility and things like that, and you've always been the 5-for-5, and I'm glad that it's in there. I do feel for some of the athletes who used up their eligibility this past year, and there'll probably be some of those that try to challenge. But when you do it, a lot of it depends on when you. If you can't get that thing approved until June, it's too late to go back and say somebody who played last year.
There's no time
to play.
There's no time of the year where you don't have sports playing
other
than right now.
It can't be fair for everybody all
the
time.
This is the only time it can happen.
Yep.
Because it can't happen in the middle of a season.
No.
You can't go, well, this is it. And there has to be a point in time where you go,
sorry.
Sorry, but this is when it starts. This is when it ended. This is,
mm-hmm,
it. We can't. Because what happens if you go back, well, what about last year? Yeah. Because that's what we're doing in NIL. That's what all started all this NIL stuff to begin with, was coming like, well, you know, hey, I was playing basketball at UCLA in 1996, and I could have made some money. Okay, well, we're going to retroactively. Well, we're doing the same thing now. So now you go like, well, this guy could have had an extra year in 1982. Let's bring him back. Well, what's the difference? There's no difference. The rules are the rules. Whether you
it has to start.
Whether I mean, you finish last year
when you
or
change,
1988.
Yeah, when you change a rule like that, there has to be a start. Yeah, yeah, and whether, it's like, okay, said, if you were done before the start, then
that's
it's
what
over.
Said. That's what I said. There's no difference between finishing in 2026 and 2006. If your season's done and your eligibility's up, it's over with.
Right.
Doesn't matter. And people are going to challenge it. And that's what I said. It's like, hey, let's go back. And I said it when this thing first happened, like, just start finding people who had an extra year and say, just bring them back. They left early. They didn't get drafted. They didn't make it. Bring them back. Try to get another year.
It's going to be, though. It's going to be really interesting now, because now we have to sort of reset our thought process and go back and look at who does have an extra year coming into this year. The guys that still have extra, guys that have at least 1 year of eligibility are going to have another year.
Yeah,
because football
is such a different one because there's so many people involved.
Yes.
But you look at –
there's so many more red shirts in football
But look at basketball. We can do basketball because it's smaller.
Right,
it's shorter.
Right. You can go with a smaller roster. My goodness.
Even that, though, like how many years does Mantis have? How many years does – I don't really know
because they haven't been in school.
Don't really know. And you start going like – I mean, Tahad Pettiford would technically have three more years.
Right.
Kevin Overton technically have another year.
He'd have 2 years.
Yes. And so you start going –
And your seniors that you brought – the Thomas Downey, the Adam Olsons, and those guys, they would have 2 years.
You all have another year. And so, yes, after this year. So, yeah, football would be wide open.
The
thing. So it's going to impact you in a lot of ways. It's going to impact high school recruiting. It's going to impact a lot of things. That's the one.
Initially,
part, yes.
Initially. I mean, yeah, once you get everybody that are whatever they are,
then it
call,
will settle.
Yes.
But the first two or three
early
years,
on, no
it's,
question,
it's going to impact everything.
It is.
I think it's the right move. But yeah, it's going to impact because all of a sudden you go, well, we thought we were going to lose 18 guys.
No, we're only losing.
They only lose five.
Yeah. Or half of them or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever it is. And so,
but it's not going to be the full number.
No. No, you're going to keep some of those. Some of them you're going to go, hey
that's
we appreciate
okay.
it.
Good luck.
You graduated. Yeah. You can go on somewhere else. But it's going to impact everything. And so, so many, and I hate it because, listen, I'm not going to do this job trying to decipher courtroom battles. And I love Ross Dellinger and those guys, and they do – I couldn't do it. That's court. They're doing court TV is what mm-hmm. the job has turned into, covering college athletics.
Yeah.
That would be miserable to me. It's bad enough having to figure out what happened
it's
after
It's a whole lot more fun covering stuff that's going on the field
and not in the
court.
They don't get a chance to do
on
that.
On the court
you don't get a chance to do that
court.
Very much.
Yeah.
And so hopefully we can find a day and a way somewhere where people go, now let's go play.
Yeah.
I don't know when that'll be.
This is sort of a silly question, but I've asked this before. Do we have any idea what we're going to call the fifth-year players?
Now we were talking about that the last time.
Yeah,
we were here.
I mean, I want to know. I mean,
I think you just go
one, two, three, four, five.
I think that's it. I think it's first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, and that's what you are. Because even now, the freshman, sophomore, junior, senior has been done. It's
oh yeah,
over with.
I mean, you have some schools that'll designate redshirt juniors and redshirt seniors and things
who
like that.
Who was
that?
The pass rusher from Miami that just got drafted? Who was like eight?
Bain.
No, the other one. Yeah, who was eighth year guy? I mean, like. Well, I mean, is that guy still a redshirt senior?
No. triple redshirt.
Yeah, that guy's doctorate. I mean, that's it. He's a doctor.
I don't know.
We've already been there. And so now.
Well, it'll be a whole lot simpler
you just
when it's
one
just
five.
One, two, three, four,
one
five.
One to five. That's it.
And it doesn't matter how much you played in any of those years. Yeah, that's much, much better. All right, we're just underway here in hour number two. Love to hear from you. If you got any thoughts about who you'd like to hear or see at Media Days from Auburn or from any of the schools. Are there any coaches interesting as we were looking at it? We'll talk about this when we come back, how they have spread things around with the new faces at SEC Media Days. But yeah, we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar as we continue here with the Tuesday Drive.
War Eagle. This is
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Again, love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, if you want to look forward to SEC Media Days. Jason, you noted that, yeah, I think it's a wise move by the SEC, four new coaches, and they're spread out one a day.
They are, yep, and so – you start looking at, obviously, we knew, you know, Alex Golish is going to be on Tuesday. And so, interesting day, really, Tuesday, because it's, you know, Alex Golish, Kirby Smart, Clark Lee is there, and then mm-hmm. Shane Beamer, South Carolina. So,
two of the three other teams so Auburn's playing.
And then day one is Kentucky.
Is there anybody on day one that Auburn plays?
Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. So you got a few teams on day one as well. So it could be a busy first couple of days when you're looking.
Will Stein on day one, Golish on day two. I'm talking new coaches.
Oh, yes, yeah. Will Stein day one, Golish day three. Summerall three, and Ryan Silverfield four.
Okay.
And yeah, and so you look and going.
Ryan Silverfield's going to be, I mean, will anybody be even notice that he's there?
That is a day to get swallowed up. When you have Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian in the room. Him and Jeff Lebby could probably walk around in that whole lobby and nobody's going to know
that's right.
You know, we're talking about Auburn, but
and it's obvious why you've got. I mean, look, they want some media still there on Thursday, so that's why you got Lane and Sark.
We were in Hoover for years. It was always Nick Saban was the last day because they knew either Auburn or Alabama have to be the last day because if not, everybody's going to leave. In Atlanta, pretty much everybody leaves anyway. We'll see about Tampa, and there'll be people there. I know there will be because that's a destination place. How many stay from Monday to the end of the day Thursday and do all that, we'll see. But looking forward to it. And I said there's some interesting players, people to hear from.
What's cool is invariably there's a player that you didn't really be a big deal that they were there, and you get a chance to listen to them and you go, wow, that's an impressive guy. I mean, every year there's somebody, and you go, why did he come? And then you realize, oh, this is why he's here.
Yes.
Because he's a very, very good representative of his school.
Yep, and you know, looking at some of these teams, I'm kind of doing the counting from back to front for Auburn's schedule this year because I was like, why am I doing Missouri now? Baylor. Why would I do Baylor first when I could do them closer to the season? So I kind of went backwards.
Oh,
so I did Alabama
cool.
first.
I hadn't thought about that.
But so I did Alabama first, and I'm like counting down towards
Baylor. Because you'll do more about Alabama as we get closer to it.
By the time you get to them, it's maybe completely
different. What you wrote now is, yeah.
Yes, and so I'm like, so I'm going to finish with Baylor closer to the opening of camp.
I like
camp,
that.
So
that's a good idea.
But you look at, you know, there's some interesting teams out there. And, you know, I kind of did Mississippi State for this morning, and you know, you look and go, Mississippi State, man, like they were 5-8, 1-7, and you look back and you went, they lost,
they were
41-34 to Tennessee.
Yeah, they lost some close
23-21 to Florida, just gave one away to Texas at home, had a big lead.
Well, they had them,
and then after that they did beat Arkansas, but they lost Georgia, Missouri, Ole Miss, Wake Forest all by more than two touchdowns.
Well, I mean, you lose – but the thing is, you lose games like that early on. It breaks on you.
Yeah. That's the one thing Auburn hasn't done.
Like, no, that's
you
true.
Go back and look, and like every game – last year, Georgia was the biggest loss they had, and that's a game you should have been up 21-0 at the half. Every other game was 7 points or less.
Right.
Six.
I mean, it's nothing that you want to, you know, hang on your wall. You're no, extremely but, proud, but I mean, but you didn't get blown out.
Like I said, it hasn't been 2012.
No.
You haven't had that in any of these 5 years.
But that's one of the more frustrating things.
It is.
You knew you should have won some of
Correct.
Those ball games.
Well, like
you
said,
were good enough to have won some of those
you
games.
You know, and I did it a couple weeks ago, but I did it 5-17. 5-17 in games decided by 7 points or less in the last 5 years.
Right.
You go just a couple here or there.
I mean, it just – I mean,
completely
well,
different.
Just if you're 500. you're 500, you've been to a bowl game every year.
If you're 500, you have probably pushed for a playoff at some point. I mean, just think last year. You're 0-6 in games decided by 7 points or less, and you went 5-7.
That's right. So you go 3-3, you're an 8-14.
You're 8-4, and you're playing Alabama maybe going, if it happened before that.
Right.
You're playing Alabama going, hey, you're 9-3 against maybe the toughest schedule in the country. Give us a look, maybe.
Right.
It's been that frustrating. You're right, and that's the word. But you look at a team like Mississippi State, and you go, man, like, Kamario Taylor may be as dangerous as a quarterback as there is in this league. Like, he's a guy that played a little bit last year, but you look at him, and he's 6'4", 230, runs like a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make a bunch of mistakes. Had 8 rushing touchdowns last year in limited time. And they got Fluff Bothwell's a big running back. But they got two NFL DBs coming back. I mean, like, they signed 9 transfer offensive linemen.
Wow.
9.
Well, yeah. What did Auburn sign?
Yeah. Trying to remember. It was
close.
Yeah, it was close. Because
but
Auburn had none left at all, period.
That's true. That's true.
And so, Auburn had 3 back, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They signed 9 and signed some guys at LSU, a couple guys from LSU, and going, look, rebuilding an entire line. And that's what Auburn did. How quickly can you get it to work? Can you put those pieces together? All those things. But you start talking about schedules and you go,
I haven't looked at their schedule.
So they're at Minnesota in week 2, which is an interesting game because, like, that one just doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
At South Carolina. But then you go Missouri at home, Alabama at home, bye week, at LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, Vandy, Auburn, Tennessee Tech, at Ole Miss.
Wow. What a way to.
So you're talking about at South Carolina, and then
was it 8 or 9?
Missouri, Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas. So in that stretch right there. But you got Ole Miss at the end, but you start talking about Alabama, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas. You go 4 potential playoff teams,
mm-hmm.
in 4 straight games. So, like, people, that is one of the most difficult schedules. Auburn's there. Everybody else is there. That's as difficult. You can put that up and go, man, you might be as difficult. You're not going to be worse than that schedule is. So that's a challenge for them
when you start talking about that, especially when you
throw a trip into Minnesota where you go, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that team's going to be like, you know?
Yeah, you're right. That just that sort of just brought to my mind another question that not nearly as interesting as yours to Greg Sankey, but I'd like to hear him talk about, all right, is the SEC committed to sticking with 9 conference games, or are they really thinking about going back to 8, as was some of the talk here early in the offseason?
Yeah, I think they did say, listen, that wasn't a permanent thing. They mm-hmm. they could revisit that. I don't know. I think if you start expanding playoffs, it doesn't make any sense to me to go back to 8.
Nor does it to me. Although the posturing that was done was, what good is it doing us playing that extra game if we're not going to get more teams in?
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing, but like, you're still going to get more teams in. I mean, you're going to in this league. You're scheduled.
And look, the playoffs are going to expand too.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt you because the people go, hey, what's their strength of schedule? Well, look who they play. It's going to impact you, and there's no question about it. So you start to look and go, what does it all mean? I don't know. I mean, that's one thing. We don't know what it's going to look like until they figure out what the playoffs going to look like. And you go, is it going to be 16? Are they going to keep going?
Sadly, I don't think it's going to stop at 16. I think it's going to go ahead and go to 24.
I just don't want buys.
No, I don't either.
I'd rather have 32 than 16.
Well, I agree. I agree.
Just like
that's more games on campus too.
Where everybody has to play the same amount of games. You don't have buys.
Look, I mean, look how beneficial has it been to have buys?
Yeah, no.
There's only been one team that's been able to win with a buy.
To me, is like that's the whole point of being a top seed is to get a game at home.
Yeah, that's an advantage.
Go play at home.
I think it's sure you can get somebody hurt, but you can get somebody hurt in practice. I think it's more of an advantage to play at home than it is to have another week before you play.
Yeah, and like I said, I think if you're a top seed, you deserve to have a game on your home campus. to go, man, look, enjoy. Here it is. Let's blow this thing through the roof.
And it's
college football.
It's also a huge benefit for your fans.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know
that's
what I mean?
That's where you deserve.
Your team has done this. You've earned an opportunity to see them. You're not having to go. Wait a week and
you deserve
be
a home game instead of
going,
hey, your first game is going to be in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's great. But we could have had a game at Jordan-Hare Stadium instead.
Oh yeah. 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Tommy is up next. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, talking about officiating, do the college baseball and basketball umpires and referees play full-time? Or employees in the conference?
No, there's no conference officials in any – I mean, SEC has football guys. But there's no baseball officials, no college baseball.
And you get most
of the same guys anyway.
But they're not
paid by the league.
And they're not. That's not their full-time job.
That's not
job.
Their job, no.
Well, I wonder, Stanky, you shouldn't be asked that question. I mean, it's obviously a problem. Officiating is a problem. Why not dedicate more resources?
Yeah, no, and here's the thing, at least football. In football, as much money's involved, you know, like the NFL is, like those guys – are now full-time. That's what they do in NFL. I think especially if you're, you know, the SEC, you're the four power leagues, you should have enough officials that you can say, hey, we're going to pay those guys. And you might want to go to another job if you want to, but we're going to pay you enough that you don't have to, and this is your job.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. And you watch college football on Saturdays, you watch NFL on Sunday, and it's totally different. I mean, those guys, they don't miss a thing.
Yeah. No,
they do miss some, but it's a totally different thing. And so I think you might want to if you invest more in them and train them more, you know, they're not focused on another job. Their job is being a good official in football.
But it's the difference.
Hopefully it would help.
But it's the difference, too, in that that's 16 games, right, 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think how many games you have to cover just those four leagues, period. That's a lot. There's more officials involved, and you're just not – the top of the heap is going to be NFL guys.
Yeah, if you were only playing conference games in the Power Four, you're still talking 30-something games.
Yeah, so right you're doubling,
so you need
you're
twice
doubling
as many,
up.
But then you've got non-conference
Correct.
Games.
And so you're just – the top of the heap is still going to be NFL because you're not going to be able to pay what those guys can pay.
Right. I understand.
And so you can train. Listen, they do a lot of training, and they do a ton of spring practices. They're doing officiating in scrimmages mm-hmm. in the fall. Like, they are getting a ton of work, but it's not like it's their job because they're coming from or taking a day off or
right.
do whatever.
They're coming from all over. Yes. But I mean, they're yeah.
Yeah, but as much money is involved in it now, ACC and the SEC. I mean, to me, they should just make sure those officials are almost as good as NFL because it's that important.
It'd be great if they could, but the other thing, Tommy, is as much money as there is involved, the bulk of it is already accounted for. I mean, I don't know that they have the extra money to be able to try to do it. I wish they could. I'd love there to be something like that. That might actually lead to a little more accountability.
Yeah, it's just so frustrating on some of these games. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
Focus on Auburn pretty much, but just like, really, was that your call? And then they'll do the replay and upheld it, and it's like, no. And like y'all were talking about the communication, be more transparent.
Well, how much of that could come out of Greg Sankey making $4.2 million?
Yeah, that's true.
A little bit of it. And coaches, and like, you could dial back everything and go, listen, if you want to make a change, here's how we make a change. We all going to make less money. You want to do that? And they're going to go, nope. We won't do that.
You're right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, man.
Good stuff, Tommy. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Got a half an hour to go. Still plenty of time for you to join in here on the Tuesday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Final 20 minutes or so here on this Tuesday, and Tommy helped us come up with a solution. We figured it out there during the break. You wouldn't even have to have coaches you know, chipping in. We figured it with 16 teams in the league, that's 8 conference games. You'd need probably need 80 officials to be able to have some backups. You're going to have some guys that can't. They're going to be some injuries. They're going to be some things like that. And there are obviously non-conference games where you'll need
and then you
extra
can bring
officials
in,
as
you
well.
You can bring in other folks in and pay them per game.
Yeah, and you know, pay those officials $100,000 to $150,000 a year. You know,
$10 million or so.
Yeah, around $10 million.
I think there's enough loose change
The SEC could probably scrape up
There's enough loose
$10
change
million.
In the couch for the, yeah, for no the South kidding. Eastern Conference at this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ain't going to happen, but
if it was a priority.
That's right.
But it's not, because if it was, something would have been done about it.
Yep.
It's not a priority.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. But, I mean, it's fun to think about and go, hey, there could be a solution. I mean, if enough coaches were upset about it, then maybe something would be done about
it. Correct. Maybe they say, hey, you know what, let's give them money to make it. And
I mean, that would be like each school forfeiting, you know, $600,000 to $700,000
to go towards
of the money that they're distributing
to go to
each year.
Towards a pool to pay full time football officials.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we just got it a little while back, the distribution to each school, and it's more than it's ever been, and it's not going down. So you take $600,000 or $700,000 away. Was it maybe 30-something million this year?
I'm trying to find it again.
I tried to do it while I was talking here a couple minutes ago and couldn't find it. But anyway, it would be doable. It's definitely something that could be doable. So you know, we appreciate the thoughts there from Tommy that got us thinking about something. You never know. I mean, we can come up with some solutions at times. Not that anybody would heed those, pay a whole lot of attention to them. But it's fun to talk about. And some of these things will be interesting to just hear. If you weren't listening when Jason said earlier, he said he's looking forward to the Monday of SEC Media Days when he wants to ask Greg Sankey about that, about accountability and why isn't there more accountability from officials.
Obviously, a lot of the talk is going to be about 5 for 5 and NIL.
No question.
The courtroom and all those things. I don't care what they say. Nobody's ever going to get on the same page with that, because as soon as they do something, somebody's going to sue somebody on this side. It's just going to keep going. I want to talk about something that could actually impact things right now, because that's not going to impact it. I don't think it's going to get fixed until they find a way to say, hey, listen, this is it. We're done.
I don't know what that's going to be.
It's not this though.
The legislation has been attempted, and that's not going to fly,
because people are going to keep suing. That's it. You cannot go, well, here's what we're all going to agree on.
Because they won't.
They won't. Like they're like,
because
text going, listen, we want to spend this money.
We've got this money. We can help us win. So we're going to use it.
I'm sorry, we're not going to do that.
Right.
Yeah, or we can act like we're going to do it. We're still going to spend this money. So we can say the right. Cody Campbell can say he's trying to save college athletics. Meanwhile,
he's trying
still
to
spending,
save Texas Tech.
Correct. He's spending
he's
millions
of
dollars on college athletes. And so yes. So I'm hoping to actually get something and maybe can get a few people on board with me to ask more questions. And so I would like for that to be more than just my question, but have other people follow up and go, let's get something actually done here in terms of making him answer about,
you know what,
this.
Jason, it would be worth asking a couple of coaches about that too.
I agree. I mean, that's going to be my plan too.
There
is go, hey, what's your thought on this? Would you like to see that implemented to have some accountability? And I'm sure most of them are going to go, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they don't, then you wonder.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, Red Venable's probably going, no, we don't want that at all.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Jason, talk a little bit about, as you were saying earlier, I mean, it is a slow time, but, man, there's plenty of info when you go out there and check out all the stories and the information that you and Nathan and Christian are putting up all the time.
Yeah, no, it's a lot going on in terms of just continuing to put information out. Nathan is just kind of counting down his players.
Right?
I'm kind of doing a schedule countdown, and today I started, you know, position battles. Are you going like where
that's
am
interesting
I
because there are some spots where I don't feel like I feel like I've got a really good idea.
Even then, you think about there'll be position battles at safety.
Sure, they will because there's so many.
But to me, it's not one of the five I'm watching.
No, I feel confident in whoever is out there.
Exactly. I think they're running back going, look, they may be a battle at running back.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter to me because I think whoever it is going to be good.
Yeah, it's not as critical as who's 1, 2, 3.
Like today, it's offensive tackle. And you go like, look, that's the most important battle going into preseason camp. I don't think there's anything close.
To me, one of the biggest questions is Stanton Ramil ready to go?
That's it. And so, you know, that's where it starts.
And how good will he be when he's ready?
So you look and you start talking about that position. You go, Joe Simmons is going to be a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the left tackle? Is he the right tackle? We'll find out. Stanton Ramil, you're going, look, is he healthy? Will he be ready to go? You know, he had some of that stuff cleaned up. He by the end of the spring, he was starting to move around some.
Yeah, he looked like he had an entire summer.
Also, we didn't see Jack Lehrer and Jacob Strain very much. Those are two guys that have played college and have started games at left tackle at Stanford and Oregon State, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got experience there.
Yeah, we saw them as much inside.
We didn't see them very much, period.
No, you're
both
right.
Of them were banged up. But you're looking, okay, now that they get a look at tackle.
And you mentioned Wilson's ear a while ago.
Wilson's ear, and then Ty Buster was basically the other tackle for much of the spring.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that could play guard, could play tackle. Really athletic, long arms. Reminds me of we just saw Dylan Wade, but reminds me of Kendall Simmons, where you look at him and go, he looks a guard, but he's got long arms and good feet and can play tackle. So it's not necessarily height is what they're looking for at tackle. It's arms and reach.
Right.
Ty Buster has extremely long arms. So he's 6'3 and has arms of a 6'7 guy. And so you go but sometimes to me, especially in college, you'd almost rather have a guy that's shorter with long arms because you're still running the football more than NFL teams do. That guy can get underneath guys and run into football because of being lower to the ground. I like it. So I think Ty Buster's a guy that's going to be on the field somewhere for this team. But you start looking and going, feels like there's six guys that might get a look. But that to me is as interesting as any battle is going to be.
And look, even though I know there's still people that feel like, well, you need to be playing multiple guys. Sure, you need to have guys ready, and it's nice if you can play them, but you need to know who your guys are. You need to know who your starters are.
Especially this team, because there's so many new faces. You got a new system. You got all these things going on. To me, as early as you can find your five guys and as much as you can keep those five guys together is going to be vitally important because you don't have a warm-up game. Now, Baylor, who knows? They may be terrible. They're kind of rebuilding everything. But it's a power opponent to start the season. And so you're going, listen, you're going to have to give those guys as much time as they can to start to get in sync with each other.
Oh, I agree. 334-321-1390. We'll get a call before we get to our final break of the afternoon. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. Heard y'all talking about Ramil. How is everyone saying he's moving? Is he moving around good? I know he's not going full contact, but is he moving good?
I mean, I haven't heard anything negative from him this summer because, you know, once – we were around guys, but once July hits, it's pretty much dead around there. They're still working out, but the coaches are gone, so I hadn't talked to anybody in the last couple of weeks. But I saw Stanton probably in the middle of June and looked to be moving around better in terms of, you know, I think he just had a sleeve on, so he's been doing the workouts, all those things. So this summer, obviously going to be really important for him, but I haven't heard any negative about him in terms of limitations, those kind of things.
Well, on these workouts they have during the summer, you know, I assume they're, you know, running plays and things like that. I know they don't, but if linemen wanted to get out there and, you know, no, I'm not saying go full pads, but, you know, put on shells and work on things, could they do it on their own?
Nope, they can't. They can't. They can't wear pads
couldn't
at all. Nope. That's can't even put a helmet on, I don't think. You know,
okay.
It's crazy because high schools in Georgia can do OTAs in Georgia with helmets, shoulder pads, thigh pads, and shorts.
Yeah.
They're almost full contact all summer. College, they can go out there and do voluntary workouts, and they can do workouts with coaches out there. And they can run plays, and they can have a script and all those things, but they can't, you know, they can't put pads on.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Appreciate it, Brett. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to get through if you'd like. 334-321-1390 as we wind things down on the Tuesday Drive.
Don't buy the lie. This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica Venturi with tips.
6-7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes here on the Tuesday Drive with Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio along with Bill. And it's been a fun show. And JC, what you got planned in the meantime here over the next couple of weeks before you head down to Tampa?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Try to play golf maybe a second time. I played one time this summer. That's been
wow.
It because it's been busy. And
yeah.
So maybe try to play one more time. This summer, but my family's going to go to Tampa with me.
And that's good.
We're going to take a couple of days after that because that'll be pretty much it. So mm-hmm. We'll take a couple of days after that to enjoy some time in Florida and then practice right around the 1st of August or so. And so we'll be ready to roll. So counting down, like I said, 2 weeks from today, we'll be finishing up a pretty busy Tuesday in Tampa, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, and it won't be long. I mean, with the season getting started at the end of August, so I mean, it's it'll get here in a hurry.
It will. Once you get to camp time, and it's not like it used to be, where it's 3 days and you're doing all that things. But you look up and you'll be, you know, August the 20th, and you'll go, okay. Now you start to tone it down. School will start, and it'll ease towards the season. So it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, so we've talked primarily football here. Got a couple of minutes before we're done. Basketball, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, the team is now all together. And, you know, we've talked about the excitement for baseball. Everybody's really anticipating football. But as you said earlier, I mean, I think there is legitimate reason for a lot of excitement about this basketball team.
Yeah, somebody asked, you know, today we did a live chat, and somebody said, what do you think, you know, finishing the SEC? And I said, hey, between maybe fifth and ninth, I don't know. I mean, like, it doesn't tell the whole story.
No.
Because it depends on how you play, how you finish, whatever. But you look and go, they said, what's the floor or the ceiling? The floor, because there's so many new guys, you go, the floor could be you miss the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like, it could be. I don't think that happens. But the ceiling for this team could be Sweet 16 and give yourself a chance to play with anybody in the country. I mean, that this team has that type of ceiling. But to me, and I hate to say it, but, like, that's Tahad Pettiford. Like, if Tahad is Tahad and he's the guy that can be the guy that we've seen, but he can be that guy more consistently – it changes everything about Auburn basketball.
I've said this and I've thought it, and a couple of people are saying, you know, what are you talking about? But I, for some reason, I think that even though there's so many new faces this year, I think there can be Tahad can play with less pressure. I think there was pressure on him last year.
Well, it was a different team.
He was the guy. I mean, he was the only. You know.
Well, and it was, you know, Keyshawn Hall became a guy that.
Right, but I mean,
but it was such a different makeup
mm-hmm.
where you go, like, listen, if one of those two guys doesn't score, you're dead in the water. And so it became that way. You know, you had a couple of games here. Kevin Overton did late, and it really helped them.
Oh, no question.
It changed the way they played.
And that's why they won the NIT.
And that's it. But now you look and you go, look, you go be the dynamic guy you can be, and then pass it to Shooter.
Yeah, I think there are more guys that can help him.
This feels like a more complete roster. Mm-hmm. Last year it was, boy, if these guys don't do it, it's over with. This year you go, hey, look, go score 20, but this guy might have 12, but this guy might have 18, and that guy might have 4 blocks. Like it feels like there's a lot more options. And I'm telling you, like, Thomas Dowd is a guy that just from watching him shoots the ball much better than I expected. He was a double-double machine mm-hmm. at Troy. You know, he's not the biggest guy, probably 6'7", but he's going to be a guy that does everything for this team. And then you look at you got, to me, I think a true shooter.
And Adam Olson?
Yes. I think a guy – I'm telling you, when you look at him and when I close my eyes after watching him, he reminds me of Adam Morrison.
Huh.
He looks like Adam Morrison. He's a bigger version, though. But he's like Adam Morrison led the country in scoring at Gonzaga.
Right.
But he looks like him physically a little bit, but he's a 6'8 guy. And so you start going, man, you have a guy like that, that all of a sudden from a wing, you got two guys in 6'7, 6'8, now Mantis at 6'6, 6'7. You got some guys that I don't care if that guy's guarding you or not, he can get a shot off. It feels different. Yeah, and so looking forward to seeing how the pieces come together.
Oh, yeah. Before we're out of here, Jason, one last time, how folks can keep up with everything you're doing.
Check us out, Auburn247, part of the 24/7 network. Follow us on all the social media platforms there at Auburn247 on Twitter. And find me there at ITAT Jason as well.
All right, Jason. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday Drive. Back with you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.